Revelation 21, please. The book of the Revelation, the 21st chapter. Revelation 21, and we're going to read together the third and fourth verses. We'll take those as our text, start our study there this evening. John says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I want to think a little tonight about heaven in this service. I want to lift our eyes from this world, and we want to look above, look heavenward. I want to think especially of the question, what is heaven really like? We sang those words, we speak of the land of the blessed, but what must it be to be there? What is heaven really like? Richard Baxter was one of the great Puritan preachers, one of the best known. At 35, when he was still a very young man, he was very ill, seriously ill. In fact, he took total collapse, and he was expecting to die. He didn't expect to live any longer. And he wanted to prepare himself for death. He wanted to prepare himself to meet the Lord and for eternity. So what he did was he began to study the Scriptures. He began to meditate upon them, particularly studying and meditating upon the things in the Word of God relating to heaven. And as he engaged in that study, weak and ill though he was, he got out a book, his notebook, and he began to write down the thoughts, the things that came to his mind, the things that came to his attention as he read and studied through the Word of God. And he wrote all of those thoughts down in a book. Can I suggest to you that that's a good practice? Keep a book near to your Bible when you're engaged in your quiet time, when you're doing your own private studies, the things the Lord says to you, the nuggets, the truths that come to your heart, record them. Good thoughts are like birds, they're like canaries. They have a tendency to fly away. And if you don't write them down, you'll forget them. You might want to ponder it again, but you can't remember what it was that came to your mind. So follow Baxter's example and write your thoughts down. What actually happened to Richard Baxter was he got better. In the providence of God and the goodness of God, he recovered from his illness at that time. And what he did after was he put those thoughts into print. He printed his study in a book. It was a book all about heaven. It's a book that is called The Saints' Everlasting Rest. It's what is described as a Puritan classic. You can still buy it today. The Banner of Truth publishes that Puritan classic series, and Baxter's book on heaven is one of those books. And I commend the reading of that book to you. If you have questions about heaven, you want to learn a little more about that place, that is often the case in our pastoral work when we visit with those that have been bereaved, those that have lost loved ones. There are many questions that have come to their mind that they never thought of when they think of where their loved one is, when they think of heaven, their condition, their state in the glory land. There's all sorts of thoughts and questions come to mind that they never considered before. And Baxter's book certainly will be a help to you in answering many of those questions. One of the things that Richard Baxter did in that book was this. He suggested that every Christian should follow his example. And every Christian should spend a little time meditating upon heaven. Remember, he engaged in that practice when he was ill and thought he was going to die. But he suggested that that's something that every Christian should do, regardless of your health, regardless of what condition your health might be in. For half an hour every day, you should take time to meditate upon heaven and look up passages and read them and study and see what the Word of God has to say about them. It's a good practice, brethren and sisters. And that's what we want to do in the service tonight. Want to take a little time. It may run into half an hour, certainly no more than that. But we want to take a little time in the service tonight to think about what the Bible teaches, to study something of what the Word of God says about heaven. And we want to ask that question that we posed to you at the very beginning of the introduction. What is heaven really like? That's what we want to think about tonight. Some areas related to heaven, a lot of the most common, most popular questions that come up, we want to try to address some of those this evening. Think first of all of the matter of appearance. People are interested in their appearance, particularly in this world. Well, what sort of appearance will you have in heaven? Will you have a body in heaven? The answer, men and women, to that question is a clear no, you won't. Remember, heaven is the place where your soul goes. Man has two parts, body and soul. Some theologians reckon that man is tripart, body, soul, and spirit. I don't want to dwell on that tonight, other than the fact of making you aware of it. But at very least, man has two parts, body and soul. And heaven is where your soul goes, your soul dwells. That's where your soul will dwell, will remain until the resurrection, until the coming again of the Saviour. In heaven, you don't have a bodily form. In heaven, you have a spiritual form. You think of what Revelation says in chapter 6. I saw under the altar the souls of them. There's a clear reference, clearly stated. The souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So remember, it's the souls that are in heaven. It's the body of the believer that is in the grave, that is laid to rest in Mother Earth. I have to say that there are exceptions to that in the Bible. It's true to say that most rules, even biblical rules that are taught, there are exceptions to them. And there are some bodies that are found in heaven. Think of the Savior himself. It tells us that he ascended. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. That's where he's going to return again. Zechariah 14 tells us plainly that's where his feet shall stand. The same place that he ascended from is the exact same place that he's going to return to. But the Savior bodily rose from the grave, and it was in that body, the same body that he ministered in when he was here on earth, that he ascended up to heaven. We can say tonight confidently, there is a man in the glory. Even in addition to that, there's also angels in heaven, and they have bodies. Think of what Paul taught, writing to the Corinthians, all flesh is not the same flesh. Can I just emphasize that? All flesh is not the same. There's one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts. The flesh that a beast has isn't the same as human flesh. And there's another of fishes and another of birds. And then he goes on even further into the heavenly, the spiritual realm. There are also celestial bodies. So it's good to see that, to recognize. Not just human bodies, not just the flesh, the body of a beast and so on. There's also celestial. That's referring to the angels, the angelic beings. There's celestial bodies. There's bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's even a difference between the bodies of angels. That's really what Paul is saying there. So not all flesh, not all bodies are the same. So when we're saying that in heaven you will have a spiritual form, that's where your soul goes. But I want you to see there are exceptions to that. The Savior in a bodily form, in his body is in heaven, so too with the angels. Angels have bodies, different from humans, and there are angelic bodies in the glory land. You think as well of Moses and Elijah. Both of those men, Old Testament prophets, they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they appeared on the Mount, not in a spiritual manner, but in a bodily form. You ask tonight, how could that be? Well, remember that Elijah didn't die. He was one of two men in the Old Testament that didn't die. I mentioned to you that virtually every rule or principle, there's exceptions to it. The rule is appointed unto men once to die. But there are exceptions to that rule. Enoch and Elijah. Elijah didn't die. Elijah went to heaven in his body. The Lord took him up to be with himself. And probably one of those things we can't be dogmatic about, but he was probably immediately glorified. The Lord gave him a glorified body when he took him up to heaven to be with him at that time. As far as Moses was concerned, Moses was raised again from the dead. Some of you might think tonight, well, where do you see that? Where do you find that in the Bible? Do you remember what the book of Jude says? The penultimate book of the Bible. Just one chapter. Jude says, Michael the archangel. Remember that Michael is the guardian angel of Israel. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, there's a great spiritual battle going on. Often we can't see it, men and women. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. There's a great battle raging in this world and round about us in this world. And Michael, the archangel, is contending with the devil, and the Bible says he disputed with him about the body of Moses. And he durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now let me ask you to think of that. What were they disputing about with regard to the body of Moses? What was the dispute there? Why was Moses, or why was the devil disputing and debating that fact with Michael the archangel? I suggest to you it was because of the resurrection of Moses' body. He had been resurrected. How else did he appear in a bodily form on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and with the Saviour that day? And remember, men and women, that the book of the Revelation says the Lord has another work for those two men to do, Moses and Elijah. The Lord has a great work for them still at an end time age. They are the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11 that will speak for the Lord in the city of Jerusalem in the days of Antichrist, at the height of the great tribulation period, the two witnesses at the time of the end. They're not named in Revelation 11, but if you read down the chapter and read the things that are attributed to those men, it is clearly a reference to Moses and Elijah. So as far as the appearance, men and women, souls are in heaven. And I want you to think tonight of your soul. And I want to ask you the question, is your soul saved? Is your soul going to heaven when you die, when your life upon this earth draws to a close? A second thing we'll mention is the matter of animals. Do animals go to heaven? It might surprise you the number of times that that question is asked. A person, many times a young person, has a pet, a dog or a cat, that they were very attached to. Sometimes it's a pony or a horse or whatever. They had a close connection, close relationship, and they like to think that when it died, it went to heaven. Some of you remember the song that Elvis sang called Old Shep. There's a line in that song that dogs have a heaven, and one thing I'm sure, Old Shep will have a wonderful home. Well, despite the sentimentality of what Elvis sang, the reality is they don't, men and women. Animals do not go to heaven. Now, I know that for some people that might be hard to take in, might be hard to accept. There might be pain in considering and contemplating that. But I want to say to you tonight that animals are different from humans. And one of the main differences that there is between animals and humans is that animals don't have a soul. Do you remember what the Bible says about man? Way back at the beginning at creation, in the garden, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man has at least two parts. Let me emphasize that to you again. The bodily part, your body one day will die, be laid in the ground, as it was with our sister Eileen today, but your soul will live on in heaven. Your soul will live on forever and forever. But when an animal dies, they don't have a soul. So when an animal dies, they cease to exist. Animals don't go to heaven. There is another aspect of that question, and that is the fact that there will be animals on the new earth. After the reign of Christ, remember when the Saviour comes, he's going to reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. That's generally what's described as the millennium. What we have been reading about tonight in Revelation 21 takes us even beyond that again. It's talking about the new heaven and the new earth. The first heaven, the first earth. This earth in which we are found. This earth in which we live. This earth to which at times we're so attached. It says the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There's a day coming, this world will be no more. There will be a new heaven, and there will be a new earth. And on that new earth, there's going to be animals. Animals were part of the original creation, way back at the beginning, when God created this world, created the garden in 6 days and so on. God created animals, part of the original creation. So it follows that they will have a part when this earth is recreated again, right there, right at the very time of the end. And remember that God preserved some of the animals at the flood. Noah's ark took the animals in. He destroyed this world with water, but God preserved some of the animals and they were brought out onto the new earth. Remember, that's a picture of what's to happen. That's a picture of the future. It's a picture that he plans to have animals on that new earth as well, after he destroys this world again. And when he destroys it the second time, it'll not be with water. He's going to destroy this world the next time with fire, saying all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye then to be? So that's just a little about animals. Another area that is often asked about is what we could call acquaintances. In other words, your friends and your loved ones. For example, will you know your wife in heaven? Some might say, well, you want to. Will you know your wife in heaven? Will she know you when you get to the glory land? There was a lady, a Christian lady, that was very unwell near the end of her life. She was thinking about these things. She said to her husband, will you know me in heaven? He was quite wise. He said to her, dear, do you think I'll be more stupid in heaven than I am now? Don't I know you now? Do you not think I'll know you in heaven as well? So think of that. Will you know your friends? Will you know your relatives when you get to heaven? And the answer, men and women, is yes, you will. Can I say to you tonight that your soul has the capacity of memory? Not your body. Your body has that capacity. We can remember precious memories. We, at funeral services, like to reminisce and look back on the life of the person that has departed. We did that this afternoon. But what I'm talking about is your soul, the ability, the capacity of your soul. And your soul has the capacity of memory. For example, think of the rich man in hell. Do you remember what Abraham said to him? Son, remember. So even the rich man in hell, the rich man lost, perishing in hell, his soul had the ability of memory. He could cast his mind back. He could think of his time on earth. He could think of how he had lived on earth. He was able to remember his family, his 5 brethren that he had when he was here on earth. Your memory will not be blank in eternity. Your memory will not be blank in heaven, people that you knew on earth, you will remember those people when you're there with the Lord in heaven for all eternity. In fact, you will know people in heaven that you never even met. That brings us into a different realm of acquaintance and relationship. Just think of that. There will be people that you will know in heaven that you never even knew when you were here on earth. You think of the Mount of Transfiguration again. Peter, he knew Moses and Elijah when they appeared in glory with the Lord. Peter knew who they were, knew both of those men. But remember, he had never met them. He had never been introduced to them. Both of those men had been on this earth hundreds of years before the days of Peter. But Peter knew exactly who they were. And that's a little foretaste, a little glimpse of what heaven will be like, of the knowledge of others that you will have when you get to heaven. You think of David. When his child died, he said, "I shall go to him." That was a great source of comfort to David and his grief at that time. But how would that give him hope, men and women? The knowledge or the fact that he knew that he was going to go to the child, going to see the child again, going to be reunited with it. How would that give him hope if he wouldn't know the child whenever he got to heaven, whenever he saw the child again in the glory? Martin Luther, the night before he died, he was talking about heaven, and he spoke about these things. He spoke about this matter of knowing one another in heaven. That's a great question. Shall we know one another in heaven? Remember, J.C. Ryle has a very useful sermon printed in tract form that would be helpful for you to study as well. But Martin Luther pointed out that whenever God created Adam and Eve, he created Adam first and then Eve from the rib, from the side of Adam. Adam knew Eve whenever the Lord brought her into the garden, whenever he awoke from his sleep. And he knew Eve not by education or instruction, but he knew Eve by divine revelation. And it's an indication of how it will be, men and women, when we get to that heavenly and that eternal state. Queen Victoria, whenever she was dying, was heard to repeat the words, "Albert, Albert." It was as if she saw him, she knew him, and she was being reunited with him as she left this world to enter the next. So there's not a doubt about it. We shall know one another in heaven. Remember this, that next to seeing the Saviour, when we get to heaven, the great hope, the great blessing, the great comfort is seeing one another again in that land, seeing our loved ones that have gone on before. Can I just say something to you from another angle on that subject? A minister preached on this theme one time to his congregation, "Shall we know one another in heaven?" Some Christians going out said to the minister, "We have come to this church for a few weeks and nobody here has ever spoken to us. Maybe you should preach on the subject, shall we know one another on earth?" Was not a good point to make. People sometimes come to churches and they don't feel welcome. Nobody ever takes the time to speak to them, shows any interest in them, to encourage them and to thank them for coming to the services. Let me go a step further. That great question about marriage. Will you be married in heaven? Often asked. People often consider. It's a good question. The Saviour said, his words throw great light upon that, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Can I stress to you, can I ask you to remember, he's speaking there about the resurrection. In the resurrection. That's the time to which those words are addressed and referred to. He's not talking about souls in heaven. It goes beyond that, to the time of his coming and the raising again of his people from the dead. But he's teaching there's a time coming when marriage will end. It will have fulfilled its purpose, not be needed any longer. Why would that be? Because then the most important relationship will be our relationship with him, our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that deep relationships that were built up between husband and wife, and deep relationships that you have had with others, with to whom you've been so close on this earth, that those things will be forgotten or those things will be lost. The Bible gives us the comfort, the great comfort of being reunited again. No more tearful partings. We're going to be reunited with our loved ones in the glory land. The book of Thessalonians chapter 4, being caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now let me ask you, what comfort would that be? What comfort would it be to be with them if you had forgotten that person? If you had forgotten their relationship to you, the relationship that you had with them here on earth, in this earthly state and condition? What comfort would that be if you didn't know who they were and you didn't know what that person actually meant to you? Remember that heaven is gain, men and women. What we're going to have in heaven is going to be far better. It's going to be a gain to what we experience here on earth. To live is Christ, to die is gain. We're not going to lose out by going to heaven. We're going to be far better off. We're going to have a far better relationship in heaven than we do now. And in many cases, we have to say that that will be very, very welcome. And the Bible does make it clear that there will be a marriage in heaven. One marriage between Christ and his church. Going to be a wedding such as earth has never known, when the Son of God from heaven comes to earth to claim his own. A marriage between Christ and his church. It's called in this book of the Revelation the marriage supper of the Lamb. Maybe we'll dwell a little more on that some even. People long for a perfect marriage. Well, that's what we will have in heaven, and every believer will be a part of it. And I want to ask you tonight, will you be a part of the marriage supper of the Lamb? Let me say a word to you about ability. What sort of ability do people have in heaven? What is their knowledge like? Is their knowledge better? Is their knowledge fuller, greater than what we have when we're here on earth? Remember, Paul said, now, talking about our earthly condition, now we know in part. The idea is that in heaven, our knowledge will be more complete. He said, now we see through a glass darkly. In other words, our understanding here on earth is foggy. It's unclear. Our focus is not as sharp, it's not as clear as it will be when we get to heaven. The Savior said, we shall know hereafter what I do, thou knowest not now. There's things we're never going to understand, fully understand or appreciate while we're here upon this earth. Mr. McRae used to sing that hymn, we'll talk it over in the by and by. I'll ask the reason and he'll tell me why when we talk it over in the by and by. The fact is, we will know more in heaven, much more than we do here upon earth. You think of these specific questions. Those in heaven, do they remember their loved ones? We've touched a little on that already. We'll think of Luke 16. The rich man in hell remembered his brothers. If those in hell remember their family, do you not think it'll be the same for those in heaven? Think of another question. Those in heaven, are they concerned about their loved ones? Your mother, your father, brother, sister, whatever. Perhaps that has died and now in glory. They're looking down and thinking of family members not saved, not right with God. Are they concerned in heaven for their loved ones still on earth? Well, again, you think of the rich man in hell. Wasn't he concerned about his family? Wasn't he concerned about his five brothers and their eternal destiny? And do you think that those in heaven would be any less concerned? I don't think so. Not for one moment. Think of another question. Do those in heaven know what's happening here on earth? I'm sure you've asked that It's a common question that's posed. The book of Hebrews says that there's a great cloud of witnesses. Some believe, some of the commentators reckon that means that the saints are watching events on earth. They're like a crowd at the Olympics. They have the grandstand view. They're looking down upon all that is taking place here in this world. And remember, the Bible says that the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Just think of it. Will that happen tonight here? Will you repent? Think that if a soul gets saved in this meeting in Armagh, it will be known in heaven. They'll be singing about it up there in the glory land, rejoicing over a sinner that repents. They will know what is happening on earth because the angels will be singing about it. And when they rejoice, do you not think the saints would know what they're rejoicing over? That even the saints might join in that praise service and rejoice with them? And remember too, the book of the Revelation says of the saints in glory that they're asking questions of the Lord relating to things here on the earth. They're asking this question in particular, or they will do at a future time. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That one question, that one verse teaches us at least two things about the saints in heaven. They remember earthly events. They remember what happened to them when they were here upon this earth. And they also knew that God hadn't stepped in. God yet had not judged their persecutors down here upon this earth. They weren't ignorant of earthly events. You think too of the fall of Babylon recorded in Revelation 18. Just to say that before Babylon can fall, it has to be rebuilt. That's one of the great end time events that we're still watching for, the rebuilding of Babylon. And Babylon will fall, the Bible says, in 1 hour. And all heaven will know when it takes place. The angel says to those in heaven, rejoice over her. That's talking about the fall of Babylon, when God destroys it at the time of the end. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. So it's clear, at the time of the end, those in heaven will know all about events here upon this earth. Another question to do with our ability in heaven. Will they weep over events on earth? That's a very common question. And generally the people say to that, the answer is no. The Bible says, you have it there in verse 4 of our passage, that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Notice it doesn't say that there will be no tears. It says that he will wipe those tears away. So there must be tears. There have to be, if God's going to remove them, if he's going to wipe them away. We're familiar with a picture, a child crying, and you pull out your handkerchief and you wipe away the tears of the child. Well, there's tears there to be wiped away. You can't wipe away something that's not there. Those words occur twice in the Bible, in the book of the Revelation. One in chapter 7 refers to heaven itself. The other that we have here refers to the time of the new heaven and the new earth. So that's a little about our ability. One other one, just quickly, that's to do with age. Some people, the ladies especially, want to look young forever. Well, what age will you be in heaven? Not a good question. For example, if you die a child, will you remain a child? If you die young, die in your youth, die with your young man or young woman, will you always be young in heaven? Isn't that very interesting? Now, we can't be dogmatic about it, but there are suggestions that you do. You do remain young. The Savior said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is populated with little children. That's a reference to the many, to the great multitude that die as infants, die in the womb, die while they're still children. before they come to know their right hand from their left. Just to look at the other aspect of that, we've thought about the young. What about the old? If you die old, do you remain old in heaven? Well, let me just set this before you for your consideration. Do you remember Samuel? And the only witch that we read of in the Bible, the witch at Endor. And Saul went, he wanted to speak to Samuel, wanted to know a little about the future. Saul had lost contact with the Lord. The Lord had withdrawn himself from him. And the witch at Endor said to Saul, an old man cometh up. Samuel had died as an old man. So it seems that Samuel, even in that event, he still identified there when he was brought back again to this world. There's a lot of dispute about that passage. Was it actually Samuel? We reckon that it was, and he still identified there as an old man in that portion of the Word of God. So those are just some thoughts for you to ponder, to consider tonight. I'll finish with this. Mr. Moody, when he was getting older, he said he knew more people in heaven than he did upon the earth. And perhaps you feel like that, or are beginning to feel like that. It is true, when you have a lot of people there, and that's the case for us all as we get older, more of our loved ones and friends die and go on before us. So it is true that when you have a lot of people there, that means so much more to you. And you think a lot more about heaven. You think a lot more about that place and those people that are there, and you want to know more about their surroundings and more about their circumstances, and you have a stronger desire just as the time goes by. You want to go to heaven to be with them. There were two brothers in one family. One was a Christian, the other was not. The unbeliever was a very wealthy man. He had a beautiful home, a mansion. Whenever he came to die, he said he was leaving home. He was leaving everything that he had in this world behind him. His brother, the believer, the man that was a Christian, he was poor by comparison. Whenever he came to die, he said he was going home. And that's the great difference, men and women. That's what heaven will be for the Christian. We're going home. Going home to glory soon. To see the city bright. As far as her sister Eileen, others that the Lord has taken from us, one by one their seats were empty. One by one they've went away. The Lord has taken them home to be with himself. And I want to ask you, just as I finish tonight, is that what death will be like for you? Which of those two brothers are you like? Will it be leaving home or going home? We pray, men and women, you'll know the Lord. And when you die, you'll go to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So that's just a little, men and women, of what heaven is like. And I pray the Lord will bless and use his word to every heart tonight.